Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have as my guest Dr. Susan Kolb. How are you, Susan?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming on tonight.
You're welcome.
So before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your surgical practice, your alternative medicine practice, and the new book you have coming out pretty soon.
Well, I'm a plastic and reconstructive surgeon in Atlanta, Georgia, and due to my own experience with leaking Dow Corning silicone gel implants, which only leaked on one side, so all the symptoms were on one side, I became familiar with the problems breast implants can cause. And because of that, I went and got educated in holistic functional medicine, specifically detoxification, using supplements and other methods to increase the immune system, and basically I had to fix myself so that I could continue to be a plastic surgeon and not go out on disability. And so I became a founding diplomat of the American Board of Holistic Medicine in 2000, and probably since about 1994 or 1993 have been treating patients from all over the country and, in fact, all over the world with problems with breast implants.
Well, I know that I told you that. Oh, first of all, where can they find you?
My website is www.plastikos.com. That's P-L-A-S-T-I-K-O-S. Plastikos is Greek for plastic.
And you have an alternative medicine site that's Millennium Healthcare?
Right. Because we were treating patients from all over, they really liked our approach and asked me to start an integrated medical practice as well. And we formed Millennium Healthcare in 1998. And we have family practice, GYN, chiropractic, traditional Chinese medicine, hypnotherapy, psychotherapy, and other homeopathy and Ayurvedic medicine. So we have a lot of different choices for people who have health issues, especially chronic health issues. And that website is www.templeofhealth.ws, or actually the Temple of Health one gets you into all three sites, the Plastikos, Millennium Healthcare, and the Avatar Cancer Center.
And you also do, I happen to know because Susan is my good friend, she lives down the street from me, she has Noetic Sciences meetings on, what is it, third Thursday,
right.
And meditation every Friday night, if anybody here in Atlanta is interested. So I know I told you that I thought we were going to talk about Morgellons and about preventive health care, but I've never really talked to you in detail about this breast silicone work that you do. And I think it's probably something that a lot of people need. So let's talk about that a little bit. If someone has silicone breast implants, and they rupture, how do they know if they're having problems? How do they know if they're ruptured? Does it hurt? Is it just something that happens?
Well, the usual course of events back, you know, in the 70s and 80s and 90s was that the implants would stay intact for 8 to 15 years. And during that time, unless you were ruptured for some other reason, like trauma to the chest wall, or sometimes the plastic surgeons would do closed capsulotomies where they'd squeeze the breast to try to break up the scar tissue, and that could rupture the implant. But most patients didn't have that. So pretty much these shells stayed intact for 8 to 15 years. But then they underwent a lipolysis reaction and inside the body. And inside the body they would start to leak. And when they started to leak, silicone and chemicals would come out of the shell and go into the body. So they didn't become problematic right away. And as you know, like with cigarette smoking and other things that take over 10 years to manifest a problem, a lot of times that gives the corporations a lot of leeway to say that there's no problem.
So is that because the walls of the implants thin out over time and start leaking?
They actually become leaky because of lipolysis reactions of the shell. It doesn't happen when the implant's sitting on the shelf. It just happens in the human body. But the newer implants actually seem to be leaking sooner, or at least some of them. So even though we went through this whole thing where they were banned for a while, except, banned in terms of we weren't able to use them for primary cosmetic procedures, but we could still use them for other things. Silicone that has gone back on the market, at least some of the silicone implants appear to be causing problems sooner. So it doesn't appear that they fixed the problem, and in fact, they probably are going to create a whole other generation of women who can't take care of their children and sometimes end up homeless, sometimes commit suicide, and sometimes end up mostly on Social Security disability, which in this day and age, that's not a good thing because these people are taken out of the workforce, they can't care for their children, and it's pretty likely to occur in most people. There could be an occasional person that doesn't get real ill from it, but most everybody I've seen that are ruptured or leaking badly are pretty ill.
Well, if someone doesn't have health insurance, whose responsibility is it to fix that? Does the corporation have any responsibility?
Well, when they did the class action lawsuit, you could get up to $5,000 for an explant. And explants usually cost between $6,000 and $7,000, but at least that helps somewhat. But that class action lawsuit is pretty much closing out. So the new patient, the new people who are getting into trouble don't have anything that they can do other than try to get on some sort of Medicaid if they're not working, or Social Security Disability, Medicare. That takes a long time, though. You probably know that most people that apply for Medicare or turn down a couple of times before they're given it, and so it's years before they can get it.
Wow. Makes me get mad thinking about all that. They deserve punitive damages if it's worse, even worse now, and they're still not doing anything about it.
Well, I don't know whether you saw this. I think it was in the Washington Post. There was an article about six or eight FDA scientists got together and kind of did a whistleblowing on the FDA administration. And silicone implants was in the articles as one of the things that they were saying, that there were problems with the science not being considered correctly in the FDA's decisions. And that was an interesting article from my standpoint, because we knew that the science was not good on the implants. There's plenty of science to show that these implants cause problems. The science was manipulated to show that there was no problem causing, like, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, known autoimmune disease. But we knew that implants didn't cause known autoimmune disease. They caused an autoimmune disease that was not yet characterized. So all of those studies that are so widely quoted in the press were epidemiological studies, and you can't do epidemiological studies on a disease you haven't characterized yet. And basically, the Dow Corning settlement, the main categories are atypical connective tissue disease, generalized connective tissue disease, and then atypical neurological disease.
Tell us the symptoms that someone needs to look for the early ones.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I wasn't having any problems at all, and I even went on CNN and debated a feminist from Washington, D.C., and I just basically said I wouldn't have any problems. But then shortly thereafter, I did begin to have some problems. What I felt first was a burning in my left chest wall with sensations going down my arm. The chemicals that come out of this are often solvents, and many of them are neurotoxins, and a lot of them are carcinogens, too. They cause cancer, and women with breast implants are found to have a much higher rate of cancer.
What kind of cancer?
Well, oddly enough, it's not breast cancer. They have a fourfold lower rate of breast cancer, and I can tell you why that is in a little bit. It's interesting, but they have increased brain, lung, colon, and I believe pancreatic cancer. So basically what happens is that the chemicals take down the natural killer T cells, which then make you less likely to be able to fight against fungus, viruses, and cancer. And that's an important part of what we do for patients is to get their immune system back. But basically, what we have to do is treat massive amount of bacterial, viral, and fungal infections. These women usually have multiple infections. They have periodontal disease. They have sinusitis. That's what I got. I got everybody has sinusitis. Everybody has periodontal disease. I had recurrent bladder infections, recurrent bronchitis. Whatever's weak, you're going to have recurrent infections, and you're going to keep the infections a lot longer. Then you have the candidiasis, and that, you know, that's associated with, you know, your bowel problems, shortness of breath, you know, a whole host of fatigue, muscle-like mental clouding, bloating, you know, just a whole host of problems due to yeast overgrowth in the gut. And sometimes mold grows around the implant, too. I've actually removed black gunk that turned out to be mold, aspergillus, around the implant. So, and then the silicone goes out into the lymphatics, and it goes up in the lymph nodes and clogs them up. They become about five times the size they're supposed to be, sometimes really big. And a couple of times I thought the patient had cancer, and they didn't. They just had a huge lymph node. And lymph nodes aren't working. They're painful. If they get infected, the patient gets a frozen shoulder on that side. If the patient gets massage, say somebody does a massage of the chest wall, mm-hmm. the patient can get infected very easily, and they get deathly ill because the chemicals just sort of go in mass into the bloodstream, I think, you know, from the action of the massage. So these women have to be very, very careful not to get massages. This stuff's real toxic. And so we've concentrated on trying to get detoxification methods. We use a lot of ionic foot baths. These women are real sick, and sometimes their gut doesn't absorb real well. So things that don't require taking things by mouth are helpful, although we also give supplements by mouth. Like we use a lot of milk thistle for liver detox and Epicor for immune strengthening, and then things like alpha lipoic acid.
What's Epicor? I don't know what that is.
Epicor is a... it's the end product of brewer's yeast. It's like you take brewer's yeast and they do this thing on it, and then they get to Epicor. They've been using it in animals for the last 20 years to prevent cancer and infections. And the clinical studies on it show that it increases natural killer T cells better than anything else that they've found. And what my experience was, I started taking it, and about 2 weeks, my candidiasis was a lot less, and my energy went way up. It takes about 2 weeks to work. And between the high doses of vitamin D, which are antiviral, and and Epicor, which is anti-yeast and also helps with the immune system, I've been able to go from, you know, having like 5 or 6 or 7 colds and flu a year to having none.
Mm-hmm.
So
tell us now, let's move a little bit, because I could get off on the pharmaceuticals and stuff, but I don't want to do that tonight. You have too much to say. Tell us a little bit about Morgellons, because I know it's kind of silicone-like, too, so it's a good door to open up.
Well, the way I discovered...
first of all?
Okay, well, let me explain how I found out about it, because it's interesting. I had about 2,000 patients with silicone throughout their body from leaking or ruptured implants. And the silicone goes all over. It goes in the brain, goes in the organs, goes in the lymphatics, you know, it goes all over. And some of my patients were eating lunch meat every day. And, like, some of them were sick, so, like, their neighbors would make them lunch meat sandwiches. Some of them thought the turkey lunch meat was really good for them, so they had turkey every day. But the ones that were eating lunch meat every day developed this really weird disease called Morgellons disease. And many of my patients have sores all over their body because the silicone comes out, but it feels like sand when it comes out because that's silica. But these patients started having fibers come out, and their sores were like a lot more aggressive. They were a lot worse, and they were sicker. They got very sick. And then they started having insects flying out of the wounds and worms crawling around in the wounds and all sorts of really horrible things. They'd call me up just screaming, like very suicidal and having a lot of problems. So one of my patient's husbands sent me a thing on Morgellons disease, because that's what it was. I didn't know about it before then. And the CDC had the person, the doctor who was running the Morgellons section had not seen the disease, so I invited her to my office to take a look at it in an Atlanta school teacher, and she examined the patient for several hours and came out and said, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen." And I said, "Yeah, isn't it?" So the CDC is doing a study in California now on it, but essentially the precursor to Morgellons is an immune deficiency. And so patients with the silicone problem have an immune deficiency, chemotherapy, Lyme's disease, sick building syndrome. If you're full of mold, if your house is full of mold, your T cells go way down and you can get Morgellons disease. So anything that drives your T cells down.
Where do you get it?
Well, let me get into that in a minute. Let me tell you why my patients were getting it, because it's a little different than what the average Morgellons patient has. My patients were getting it because Dr. Staninger found out, Dr. Staninger is a toxicologist in California. She found out that the fibers coming out of the wounds, and there was a lot of them, the fibers were high-density polyethylene and silicone, and basically plastic. So the lunch meat was being sprayed with a nanotechnology of high-density polyethylene. It was they were doing it around a viral phage that they were spraying on the lunch meat in order to prevent listeria infections. Now, have you heard of listeria?
No.
It's a really bad kind of bacteria. It was on House the other night. I mean, it's one of those rare things, but it kills people. So listeria is a pretty bad infection, and because lunch meat often isn't cooked, it is more likely to affect lunch meat than, say, meat that you cook. So the FDA approved this to be sprayed on there. So that was interesting. And I talked, and Dr. Staninger, I interviewed her on my radio show, which is Temple of Health, and it is on BBS Radio on Saturdays at noon, same station as yours. So that was my patient's experience. But the other Morgellons, and I started to make a protocol using holistic medicine for Morgellons, and so I started seeing a lot more patients that had breast implant problems. Now, most of them were bitten by an insect, or got it from an animal, often birds. I had a patient who had a bird fly into his garage and hit him in the face. Now, remember, the bird's sick. The bird is sick with some sort of a mite that affects its ability to fly. And but it's a little tiny mite. It's a little white thing. It's very, very tiny. But many of the patients get bit by that and then suddenly start to get the disease. And that mite is probably in a lot of things. Soil, sand. One of my patients got it picking coconuts off a tree in Hawaii. Just a whole bunch of different things, but often handling birds. Don't ever pick up a dead bird or an injured bird without a lot of protection, because this disease is pretty serious.
What are, I know some of the symptoms are creepy crawly things.
First of all, you get bitten. Okay, you get this intense biting, and then the crawlies start. You see.
And it's not, I know a lot of doctors say that they tell their patients that it's a psychological thing, but it's really not.
It's not at all. Delusional parasitosis is what they've called it, and actually that's a subset of schizophrenia. And anybody who's ever known anybody who's schizophrenic knows that that's not a subtle diagnosis, and these people are not schizophrenic. These people are really sick.
Makes me upset thinking about it, because what does our government have to say about that? The FDA or?
Well, I don't know what the government has to say about it. I'm not sure we should turn to our government for answers. They haven't been very proactive about a number of diseases like silicone disease, sick building syndrome, Morgellons, Lyme's disease. I will say that the CDC did send out letters to all the medical boards recently, or they're going to, telling the medical boards about Morgellons, so hopefully doctors will quit losing their license for treating it.
There's, I didn't know that was happening, really.
Oh, yeah, just like Lyme's disease. The medical community can be quite nasty, and if they think you're treating a disease that they think is something else, they can bring you in front of the medical board and try to, you know, try to take your license away for not practicing medicine the way they think you should. Now, Georgia's a little different. Georgia's a right-to-treat state. There's about, well, there used to be about 7 right-to-treat states, but I bet there's more now. And in a right-to-treat state, you're able to do whatever has scientific merit. It just has to be, in any life-threatening disease, if it has any scientific merit whatsoever, which means one study, you know, in Europe or whatever, you can do it.
That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And it's very protective, especially for alternative cancer treatment. But they do stipulate that you have to have correct informed consent, which, you know, I think is important. And then you have to have a life-threatening disease, which I think Morgellons is life-threatening. A lot of people commit suicide, and a lot of people die of infections if not properly treated.
Amazing. So now let's talk a little bit about, I know you do a lot of preventive health care in your practice.
Yes.
Let me see how to word this. First of all, why do we need to do it? When people think, I'm not sick, I'm fine, I'm only 40 years old, and I don't have any symptoms, why do I need to do this?
Well, the main problem is the vast amount of pollution we're exposed to. Air pollution, water pollution, pollution in our food, electromagnetic pollution. And all of these pollutions fill our body with chemicals that aren't good and sometimes are frankly carcinogenic like arsenic, or decrease the immune system like lead and mercury, and like there's just a lot of exposure to things that can threaten our health. A lot of aging occurs because there's free radicals generated that, because our body is depleted, since we don't eat a very good diet on average in America, we eat a lot of white bread and meat, and we're acidic, and we don't drink water like we should, and we drink a lot of Coke and coffee and tea.
Aspartame,
yeah, NutraSweet, whatever. So we end up not having the ability to get rid of things. Detoxification pathways go down. And there's two phases of detoxification. The first phase, they occur in the liver, but the first phase involves a cytochrome enzymatic system. And that usually works in most people. But the second phase doesn't have enough intracellular glutathione, which is something that the liver needs to take the free radicals and get them undangerous, you know, to get them to a point where they don't punch holes in your vessels and your cells and other things. So basically, a lot of people, because they have problems with the second phase of intracellular detoxification, end up with a bunch of free radicals. Now, let me explain to you what happens when you got a lot of free radicals. Your body produces cholesterol. That's how you know. Or you gain weight because your body holds on to water because the body's trying to dilute things. That's how you know you're toxic. People who can't lose weight, people who have high cholesterol, they are actually having a lot of free radicals. And what we do is we give them a medicine that lowers their cholesterol but doesn't lower their free radicals, and in fact depletes their coenzyme Q10, making their heart muscle less likely to be able to work well and all their other muscles as well. So that's not very smart. And it's a shame that we don't use more functional medicine in the United States. I think in Europe they do. I think in Europe it's a lot more intelligent medicine. Like, for example, if you have colon cancer in Europe, you don't get chemotherapy because guess what? It doesn't work on colon cancer, so they decide not to do it.
Well,
see, that's the beauty of socialized medicine. They're not going to do something if it doesn't work. See, because nobody is making a profit on it.
Right.
You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. So, never thought about it that way. But
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very important to understand that things that make the biggest profit get done the most. So look at what's done. Coronary artery bypass. Do you know how much an average coronary artery bypass costs?
What?
Well, this was years ago. I'm using the experience of my parents. About $70,000 to $80,000, and it's probably a little higher now. That's what insurance pays. Medicare pays around $36,000. Now, what's interesting is that you could do chelation, detoxification. You could do all sorts of preventative medicine for about $3,000, and really decrease that number. Also decrease your risk of cancer in the meantime, because whenever you detox, you decrease the risk of everything.
So what do you do to detox, and then what do you start out with?
Well, I think for me it's a little different because I've got silicone toxicity. So I made sure I did milk thistle.
I mean at your practice.
For milk thistle for liver detox, colon and kidney cleanses, gallbladder cleanses. I do a lot of foot baths. There's two kinds of foot baths. One is the ionic foot bath for hydrophilic chemicals. Those are chemicals that like water. Then there's another one for plastics or hydrophobic chemicals that don't like water. And that's, so there's two kinds of foot baths. And, you know, people say these, it's really funny, people will come in and say, well, I read on the internet these don't work. Well, I have people who are toxic from things like xylene, because they handled it without, you know, got it up against their skin and absorbed. Within just a couple of minutes of being in the electrolysis foot bath, they started having a rash where the xylene went in, and of course we got them out right away. But, if it wasn't bringing the xylene back out, you wouldn't have the rash, which is very interesting. Yeah.
So, Annette, you brought up the topic of diet, and it made me want something you and I talk about all the time, and that's mineral depletion. So if someone's eating collards and greens and kale and spinach, why don't they get enough of these minerals, and what does mineral depletion actually mean?
Well, I think it depends on where the vegetables are grown. I mean, you could grow your own vegetables with high mineral soil, high selenium soil, and you could probably get it from your diet. But if you're getting it from the grocery store, chances are certain things have already been depleted at the level of the soil, so it's better to also supplement with a mineral, a colloidal mineral, and selenium. Selenium, iodine, and vitamin D seem to be deficient in the American population.
And about magnesium, you know I'm going to
ask. Oh, yeah, question. Magnesium. Yeah, definitely magnesium.
That brings up another question. People buy supplements. They rate, rampant in the supermarket and the drugstore buying supplements. Do those supplements typically work? If they're trying to, first of all, if they're taking, I hear all the time, well, I'm taking a magnesium supplement, and you look at it, and it's magnesium oxide. Is it going to do the job?
Well, we have, even I read the same book sometimes, and there, and it appears that different magnesium supplements, some are better absorbed than others. And sometimes if you have a really bad deficiency, transdermal magnesium works well.
And what are some symptoms that people may have if they don't have enough minerals? I guess I wanted to talk about profound depression, lack of energy. Because you know what I went through.
High blood pressure.
Yes, high blood pressure. I dropped my blood pressure. And you know this. You saw it. 70 points
right.
in 3 weeks.
Right.
Just by using topical magnesium chloride. So it's like for you to talk, because people don't recognize those symptoms and they run out and get on
Well, I'll tell people the early symptoms, and I think most people have this, is muscle cramps and muscle fatigue. You know, their muscles don't work right, or they're tight after they use them because of magnesium deficiency. And I think that, and sometimes potassium deficiency, too.
So, how do you know if it's magnesium or potassium, or do you know?
Sometimes you can't tell because they tend to go, I mean, most people who are magnesium depleted are also potassium depleted, and especially hypertension. It's important to replace both of them. And in terms of potassium replacement, you can get that in bananas, and you can get it over-the-counter. The over-the-counter stuff, supplements are not real, they're not a lot of potassium, but that's good because you don't want to take a lot of potassium, mm-hmm. especially if you don't know if your kidneys are working right, because you could have arrhythmias.
So I'm going to give you, I know you have know a lot of things. I'm just going to ask you, what do you want to talk about, Susan?
Well, let's see. How much time do we have?
About 25 minutes.
25 minutes? I think that I'd like to have people consider that there's different levels at which disease occurs. Because when they're trying to think about their own health issues or the issues of their loved ones, it's important to understand that not all diseases are physically caused. Not even all accidents are physically caused, you know. But, like in the case of breast implants, that's pretty much a physical problem. It's the chemicals and the silicone causing the problem. If the patient had never had the implants, they probably wouldn't be sick with this disease. It'd be very highly unlikely. So that's an example of something physical. And you usually deal with it at the physical level. We deal with surgery, detox, supplements to increase, you know, the immune system. But most diseases are not physical causes only. Many, many diseases, and probably the majority that you go to family practice doctors for, have more of an emotional mind-body connection. And most people know this because if they get really stressed, they might get indigestion, they might get diarrhea, they might get headaches, they might get, you know, inability to sleep. Those are all things that if they weren't stressed, they wouldn't have. So I think one of the best ways to stay healthy is to learn to deal with your stress. Stress reduction, many different ways to do that. Meditation, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, walking in nature, releasing techniques, tapping techniques. I'm going to be interviewing a psychiatrist next week on the WHE method, W-H-E method, which is a method he's developed.
Dan Benor?
Yeah.
Good book. Good guy, too.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Harvard? I think he's a Harvard.
I think so.
Yeah, he's a Harvard psychiatrist who's got a bunch of information on holistic medicine.
And hand over fist of books.
Right. Yeah,
so are you trying to tell me that disease is emotion related and maybe that particular disease are related to particular emotions?
Not all disease, but some diseases. Think back on your life when you were highly stressed and what symptoms you got. If you hadn't been stressed, you wouldn't have got those symptoms. So obviously that is emotionally based.
Let me ask you, you know, the other night when you were at last night, I guess, we had an interesting conversation with a woman whose daughter had been sexually molested.
Mm-hmm.
And now she had discovered the breast lump. Does it appear to you doing as much breast work that you do that inappropriate sexual abuse has something to do with possibly breast cancer or reproductive cancer?
It can. There's not just one cause, though. In my experience, breast cancer tends to be, in most cases anyway, although there are some exceptions, some breast cancer is due to high doses of estrogen because there are certainly estrogenic causes of breast cancer. And if people take way too much Premarin with no progesterone to balance it, they can get breast cancer, probably just straight from a physical cause. But there's also a biological conflict that appears to be, in most cases, a breast cancer. This biological conflict was described by Dr. Hammer in Germany. Dr. Hammer had a son who was in his 20s who was brutally murdered, and the shock of this led to him getting testicular cancer and his wife getting breast cancer. And he was able to release the shock, release the initiating event, because he was very astute. And he developed very interesting information. He gathered 35,000 cases where on CAT scan they showed a Hammer lesion in the area of the brain that corresponded on the other side of the body to the organ where the energy had been dropped during the biological conflict.
Wow.
And so for breast cancer, in a right-handed woman, the left breast represents someone who should have been protecting her but betrayed her. Sometimes it's a cheating husband. Sometimes it's a sexual abuse with a relative. Sometimes it's just anything where you put your faith in security outside of yourself. And the right side tends to be when somebody you're nurturing either dies or rejects you or almost dies, some sort of a shock there. So in the case of Dr. Hammer, his wife got right-sided breast cancer. And in the case of most people, but it can even be a spouse that or a parent that is like a child, that can initiate right-sided breast cancer too. So if you understand that there are initiating events that can be documented on CAT scans in the head that initiate cancer, then what we have to do is we have to look for releasing techniques so that we can release energies that led to this, and we can raise the energy in that breast back up. Because really, one thing I've learned, cancer occurs in low energy organs. Whatever is making that organ low energy needs to be reversed in order to get rid of the cancer. Unless you can just cut the organ out, like the kidney. Mm-hmm. Kidney cancer usually has to do with relationships, and if it's discovered early enough, you can just take the whole kidney out and it's curative. But of course, then you only have one kidney.
Do you think that disease starts? Let's talk about frequencies for a minute, because that's kind of a passion of mine. Do you think that disease starts on a different level and eventually, I guess, slows down to such a resonance that it, in other words, does it gradually come into the body or does it just come all at one time?
Well, I think that it can come very quickly or it can linger for years in the higher bodies, so that clairvoyants and other medical intuitives can see it, and yet it's not in the physical body yet. That's the best time to get it, when it's not in the physical body yet, because it's a lot easier to treat.
But so you really think that you can, by doing things like that, you can really get rid of it or prevent it from coming? You believe that?
Yeah,
things are true?
I think that the medicine of the future, we're going to use advanced diagnostic measures such as medical intuition, and even, I mean, there's some ancient techniques, even the ear diagnosis techniques that the Chinese have can show disease well before it's
What's an ear
taken
diagnosis?
If you look in somebody's ear, you can tell if they have hypertension, you can tell if they're missing their top teeth, you can tell
really?
If they have breast cancer, yeah. I'll show you sometime. I'll bring a book over. But it's very, very accurate. I've been able to do learn it very quickly. I took a course on it, and out of all of the students in the class, the lady that wrote this book actually was teaching it. She called me up, and it was so accurate that I was flabbergasted. I normally don't have, I had a pain that day that I normally don't have. She even said that I had that pain.
That's amazing.
She diagnosed every single thing that I knew I had wrong with me.
All right. I normally don't talk about scientific stuff and what I call woo-woo stuff, but are you intuitive? Do you use that in your work?
Yes.
I know you are. And I want you to tell everybody about it, because I see you in action, and it's amazing sometimes.
Well, intuition waxes and wanes. I mean, some days you're really intuitive, and other days you're not so intuitive. It depends a lot on your energy level. It depends on the vibration field that you're coming into. It also depends on how much, how open the patient is. I mean, I can't really tell the patient how I know stuff if they don't believe in anything like intuition. But I can get the test. I mean, if I there was a story of one of my employees that had a headache, and many of my employees have headaches. I mean, I had like 35, 40 employees, but I'd try to do a healing on them, you know, if I had time, because then they could go back to work. Because headaches,
what do you mean
pretty...
a healing? Let's see how much time we have here. What do you mean you do a healing on them?
I just do laying on a hands, which is like gigahertz energy, in order to stabilize their electromagnetic field.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically is putting the frequency of blue around their head and chasing off the frequency of red, which is what that is associated with the headache. And a lot of times the headache goes away. But I saw that she had a tumor in her brain, and I'd never seen that before in any employee. So I couldn't just come out and tell her. I said, well, you need to go home, and then you need to make an appointment with a neurologist, and then you need to get a CAT scan of your head. You know, and of course she didn't pay any attention to me. She went ahead and went up to the other office with one of our other doctors, where she had a grand mal seizure, was taken to the hospital, and she had a brain tumor. So there.
Wow, that's amazing. So how does it help you better treat your patients when it comes to prevention? Can you see the disease coming?
Well, you know where I use it most often is in surgery. Because things aren't always where they're supposed to be, like nerves and vessels and other structures that we're trying to avoid. And I noticed, I mean, I've been a surgeon for over 26 years, so I noticed way back when I was training in general surgery, that I would just know things. Like, three times I diagnosed Meckel's diverticulum before we took the patient to surgery, and my chief resident said, most general surgeons in their whole career wouldn't see even one Meckel's diverticulum. He said, how did you know these people had Meckel's diverticulum? And I couldn't tell them how I knew, but I knew they did. And that was before I even was aware that there was such a thing as medical intuition. But you see, when you're a surgeon, you get to make the diagnosis in the emergency room, then you get to take them upstairs, cut them open, and see if you were right. So it's a very interesting interesting thing. So I've used intuition in surgery forever. I think that is a gift for me. Keeps me out of trouble.
All right, you got 10 minutes. Anything you want to cover that we've not covered? What about frequency medicine?
Well, the healing I do is frequency medicine. I do a lot of pain healing, because I do laying on the hands in recovery room, and what I feel when I put my hand over a surgery site is I feel like a vibration, and as the energy goes into me, or into my field, it's not actually into my body, it goes into my field, and then energy comes out of my hand into the patient, and then I know the healing's over when the vibration stops and it's real smooth, and the patient reports the pain eases off tremendously.
Can you give advice to doctors who have not had that experience, how to develop it? Is it something you can develop?
Yeah.
Or how can they start off?
I think the most important thing they need to do is meditate and do spiritual practices so that they become more aware of energy. I didn't feel energy when I first started doing this. It was only later, after I meditated and did a lot of spiritual work, so that I could feel shifts in not only their energy field, but my energy field.
Have you cured anything with hands-on healing only?
Well, a lot of times, like if somebody has an infection, I'll do laying on of hands and give them a script for an antibiotic, and then they'll come back 2 weeks later and tell me they didn't get the antibiotic filled. So I guess something helped their infection.
Do certain things react better to laying on of hands than other things?
Yeah, there's two things you do not want to lay hands on and give energy, and that's nausea. Like if the patient's nauseated in recovery, if you do a traditional laying on of hands on the abdomen, they'll throw up really quickly. Yeah. You see, they already have too much energy in their solar plexus. And then the other one is burns. Burns are too much energy. Now, you can remove energy with burns, and the Chinese have a very interesting thing where they remove energy using aluminum foil. And the burn really heals quickly when you remove the energy. I don't know exactly. I just read it, and I've never done it. But what I do is I remove energy with my energy field, you know. But I'm not giving energy. I'm removing it. Does that make sense?
Yep. It kind of makes me think of Donna Eden's work when she goes counterclockwise.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Right.
Is it kind of like that?
Well, I do it with intent. I guess I just intend through my field to remove the red hot, you know, scorching energy that is in the tissues.
Interesting. All right, you got 5 minutes. Tell us again where to find you.
Well,
I'll hear a little bit about your book that's coming out.
Okay. Well, my practice is in Dunwoody, which is north of Atlanta. It's really in Atlanta. And the phone number is 770-457-4677. And if you have a question that you want to ask me, you could call or you could email me through the website www.plastikos.com, plastikos.com, or templeofhealth.ws. And the book is on breast implants. So I think I'm going to call it the Breast Implant Chronicles because it's seven patient stories about the journey with breast implants and kind of a history of what happened and a prediction for the future if we don't learn from our past mistakes.
And by the way, anybody, if you can't remember that website for some reason, you have a question, you can email it to me and I'll send it directly on to Susan.
Right.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I guess the main message I'd like people to take from this is take responsibility for your own health and the health of your family. The government is not someone to rely on in this endeavor because they're heavily influenced by corporate interests and other interests that don't represent what I believe is best for the average American. And just learn about your health. I had interviewed the author of Conscious Health on Saturday, and that's a very good book. Do you remember the author's name, Eva?
Ron Garner. Go ahead.
But I'd suggest buying a book like that, Conscious Health, which is really good. It covers all of the things we touched on tonight in great detail and really taking responsibility for you know, for your own health and the health of your family.
One thing I want to ask about is pharmaceuticals versus natural supplements. Do pharmaceuticals cure diseases, or do they just make them feel better?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's some pharmaceuticals that are hormones, insulin, stuff like that, and they obviously do cure diseases if there's deficiency states in thyroid, insulin, whatever, all of the different.
What about things like statins?
Well, statins can help lower cholesterol, but if you don't take coenzyme Q10, they can cause other problems. There's not a magic bullet for most diseases. What I prefer to do is understand why the cholesterol is elevated and fix that problem, which is basically the free radical. The problem with the second phase of intracellular detoxification, which is a study of functional medicine, rather than just have a magic bullet to fix a lab value.
That's good advice, I think. I think most pharmaceuticals actually deplete you of your nutrients and minerals, don't they?
There's some interesting books on this, and I haven't interviewed the authors yet, but you may want to do that, and I may want to do that too. There's actually books that talk about which drugs cause which problems and what natural supplements can fix the problem.
Yeah, that woman, I sent you something on the other day, Susie Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name of her book yet right this minute. Do you remember? She's that pharmacist, and she takes all the pharmaceuticals and compares them to the natural supplements and tells you what the pharmaceuticals do.
Right.
How they rob drug muggers, that's what it is.
Drug muggers, how they rob you
of your
right.
supplements.
Right.
But the doctors usually forget to tell you about that part.
So the doctors don't know it.
Sicker.
I've had to tell doctors in the doctor's lounge to take coenzyme Q10 because they were complaining they could no longer run long distances because they were on Lipitor.
so they honestly don't know.
Because if they did, they would have taken it. They would be taking it already, but they weren't.
Pathetic, it really is. Okay, Susan, thank you for coming on my show tonight.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. I wish we had another hour because I know you have a lot more things to say. If I could just pick it out of you and ask the questions. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot. Have a great week.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.